Every week's kind of me just trying to preach, but the point still is, we're talking today about a subject that actually gets me a bit sideways from time to time, and that's the subject of prayer. If I say prayer, and some of you groan a little bit inwardly, I'm with you. I also am one of those that have wrestled with prayer, had difficulty with a lot of prayer things, especially the prayer stories. We've all heard the stories. Somebody will say, oh, you know, we didn't have any money, we had no groceries, but we sat down at the table and we prayed that God would provide. And the doorbell rang, we opened the door, and there's nobody there, but there were bags of groceries. Okay, I'm sure that happened, maybe, to somebody. For most of us, though, that's not our prayer story. Our prayer story is more like trying to get something out of a broken machine, where our prayers are coins that we keep fading in, and then we're waiting, and it's not happening. Or it happens wrong. Like those, some of you who buy hot drinks out of those machines, and instead of the cup coming down first, the stuff comes out, and then the cup, and you reach in there, and then more hot stuff, and you're going, that's not what I asked for. So what are we going to do about this? How are we going to square all of this, all these promises with our reality in prayer? Well, you know, we could actually take a look at it and find that most of the time when God was promising people that whatever you ask, I'll give it to you, He was talking about to a specific group of people in a specific circumstance, and that it doesn't reach all of us everywhere. That's probably true. We have grabbed, in other words, promises that were given to other people in another time and claimed them for ourselves. And I've even heard people say, we're claiming this promise. And I'm going, you can only claim it if it was offered. I can't go to a Mercedes dealer and say, I claim this. No. Well, I can say that, but it doesn't work. When God promised, Jesus promised His apostles when they went out, if you ask for something, I'll give it. He was asking them as a community. He said, when this community asks for something, I will give it to you. We tend to not think about the results of what the world would be like if it was like what we say we want it to be like. I'll explain. We often will say, well, I wish God would just answer my prayers, and I feel like He's not answering, and I want Him to answer my prayers. Think about what this world would be like if God always gave you what you wanted in prayer. We would become tyrants. We really would. We'd be down at Best Buy and somebody sneeze. And we could say, I can fix that. But I might not. Does anybody doubt that if we had that kind of power, we would misuse it? If you're thinking, no, we can be trusted with that power. We don't trust you with a nuclear device. There are a lot of things we think you're a nice person, but we don't want you to have one. If my neighbor comes up to me and says, I've got a dog, I'm happy. If he says, I've got six pit bulls, I'm not. There's a certain level of power we're acceptable with, right? What if God always did what you wanted Him to do? Would that not make you God over Him? He would be your puppet that would dance to whatever you said. God has never promised such a thing. So what are we going to do with prayer? Well, prayer is mighty, and it does change many things. But the first thing that it should change is your isolation. Prayer is about, get this today, prayer is about the community, not the individual. If prayer was about the individual, Jesus would not have died, because He asked to not die. But then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And in that same prayer, He talked about those that you have given me, be with them. It was all about community. And for the community, it was best that Jesus died. Therefore, He died. Prayers are about the community. But how much of our prayer time is about bless me, guide me, give me, help me, when it's really supposed to be about us all? Now, please be aware, praying on your own is certainly fine. Jesus did that quite often, didn't He? He'd go off into the desert and pray, but then what did He do? Come back to the community and pray with them. It's that community aspect of prayer that we have a hard time with. Jesus promised, oh, I hate saying this, but it's true. Jesus promised to be with us in groups. Wherever two or three of you gather in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. If two or more of you agree about anything, your Father in heaven will agree. Always a group. Now, that's hard for me to say because I'm not by nature a group type person. By nature, I'm a loner. I'd love to be a lighthouse keeper, except that very annoying monthly visit from the mail boat. If he would just leave me alone, it would be a perfect job. And yet God said, Patrick, you're not allowed to live like this. You're supposed to be in community. And I know that's for my own good. We have community here. And that community needs to be touched. When one of us hurts, the scripture says, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Right now, our community is hurting because we lost a good sister. Several of you come up and said, why are you dressed up? Well, we have a sister who lost her fight with cancer, a 5-year fight. And Nancy Milligan, most of you don't know Nancy because you've come here since the time that she was able to regularly attend. But Nancy, very, very young for such a thing to strike. Wonderful mother, wonderful Christian. In fact, a force of nature. I thought of her when I first moved here. There were three families that just jumped up and grabbed us and absorbed us when we got here. One of them was the Milligan family. And Nancy, everything was just organized and everything was taken and she was witty and she was sharp and you didn't get anything past Nancy. And I loved her for that. And now she is with God. One, those of you who knew her, and those of you who would just like to show some respect, to know that the viewing for Nancy is today and tomorrow, down at Poder Modette's, which is just one street off the main street here in Rochester. Turning around that way. Today it is from 5 till 9. Tomorrow it's from 2 to 9. The funeral will be Tuesday morning right here. 9 o'clock, we'll open the doors. She'll be lying in state. At 10 o'clock, Tuesday morning, we'll have the funeral right here. So if you would like to support the family, and they are a lovely family, please keep that in mind. But since Nancy passed and that family hurts, we all pray. We all care. When one of you graduates from school against all odds, you actually got the degree, we rejoice with you. As a community, it's not about us. And in prayer, it's not about us. It's about the group. I don't know if I've ever told this story, and I really don't want to go into the details of how it arrived at this point. Let's just say my childhood was not a good childhood. There were a lot of difficulties there. My grades were good and I behaved, but there were circumstances around that made it a very brutal, difficult childhood. It got to the point where I shuddered to go to school because there's only a certain amount of times you can endure the ridicule and the beatings and like, but the law says you got to go. And I can remember one time waking up in the dark. It was raining outside. One of those days you just want to snuggle in a stay there. And I was thinking, it's Saturday. And then it hit me, no, it isn't. It's Monday. Have you ever had that hit you? Oh, that's not a happy time. The only worst thing was one time I did wake up and go, it's Sunday. Looked over and saw I was late for a place I was supposed to be preaching. Oh, it was awful. I changed like mad, zipped across town to find out it was Saturday. That was a bad one. But this one, laying in bed, and this had to be a God thing because I would have never come up with this on my own. Started praying to God. I really would have rather died than go to school that day. But after a while, and this was, we're talking like, you would call it probably middle school, that region, that era. I started praying about the people in the room. I think you got, what, you call it a homeroom where you get started. I started actually praying for them by name individually. Talking to God about them. I'd never done that before. It may have taken me an hour. It may have taken me 10 minutes. It was dark. I don't know. It seemed like it took an hour or more to do this. By the time I was done with that prayer, my attitude toward all of them had changed. And my attitude about my life had changed. It was not like I'd leapt out of bed and said, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will let us rejoice and be glad therein. No, I'm not doing that without pharmacological help. I just got out of bed and I stiffened my spine and I went. praying for the community had changed things. I don't know what you're up against. You may have the world's worst boss. I was so glad some of my staff didn't yell, amen. Pray for them. Get somebody else with you and pray for them. Pray for the community more than you pray for yourself and see what happens. It changes things. You know that Cammy and I pray for our waiters and waitresses. That's just something we do. I've been told twice, no thanks. But we prayed about them anyway. It was a nice prayer. It wasn't smite them, Lord. It was a nice prayer. But some, in fact, look for us now when we walk in and they know us by name and they'll come up and they'll tell us about what we prayed about. And what happened is we opened it up. Prayer is building a community. There's a restaurant in town and we are working out the details that so many of us have prayed for so many of them over the last year that the man says, I want to just help your church. Is there any way, can I just bring cards of discount off our food for any member of your church? We said, yeah. He said, what I'd really like to do is feed your church. We said, we'll let you. We'll if you come here, we'll set it up. So we're going to work that into one of our Jubilee Sundays. But here's a restaurant owner who has seen a change in his wait staff because of you coming in and praying. He said, nobody else does it, but the people from there do. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Because I got to tell you, being a minister, you always cringe and stiffen a bit when people say, are you a member of that church? Because normally what they say is, I know somebody that goes there, and they're evil. It's nice to be caught doing something good. I want to ask you, what would it do to your outlook to this place if you prayed for it and the people here, not generically, that's where we go wrong. You know, that's where we do the Larry the Cable Guy issue, where we just say, be with them starving pygmies down in New Guinea. No. Name them. Name who you are praying for. It might be cool if every Sunday you came here, you changed and got into a different row. I know, we're talking crazy now. But it would, so that you could learn the names of the people on that row and pray for them. Just dream with me. I know you're afraid of changing places. You're afraid God will come back and he won't know where to find me. He'll look around. You're all right. What would it be like if every Sunday you met a new group of people, you got their names, and you dedicated yourself that week to praying for them by name? Do you think you'd be very connected here very quickly? Some of you don't feel connected. I got to ask you something, and I'm not trying to get all over you. I'm just saying, in my experience, people who say we can't get connected here, it's not friendly here at any church, not just Rochester, nobody talks to me here, are the last people in and the first people out. And whenever there's a hug and howdy greeting time, they're the ones that do not move, but stand there. Oh yeah, that looks approachable. Or they turn to their little huddle. Because they're sitting where everybody is. They know everybody right there. They huddle. Don't let any visitors get in. They try to get into heaven. We're playing Red Rover, Red Rover. We're not letting them in. What if you were to open your mind and use prayer as a community builder? I'm going to learn some people's names and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to learn about their lives and I'm going to care about those. What if you were to decide, I'm going to pray for Jeremy and the praise team. I'm going to learn their names. This takes a lot of work. I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to go up and tell them, I promise I'm praying for you for the next week. After that, on your own. But for the next week, praying for you. Wouldn't that be incredible? What if you were to pick a couple of the elders? You don't have to pray for all of them. You don't know all of them. Pick a couple. You can go to one of the doors afterwards where we always have elders stationed to pray. And instead of asking them for prayer, you can tell them, I need your name because I'm going to be praying for you. Watch the reaction. Watch the reaction. We were in airport down in Florida yesterday. And I went over to pick up snacks for the plane because you know they're not going to give you any on the plane. There was a lady there who waited on me and nobody is happy to be at the airport. You know, there's nobody is. And even the people that work there are not. And whenever she handed me the stuff and we were done, she said, have a nice day, which is the American way of saying go. And I looked at her and I said, I hope you have a blessed day. And she literally jerked a little bit and lit up. The smile was huge. And she goes, thank you. I didn't. I don't know what she didn't, because she stopped. She goes, I didn't. And I said, may God bless you. And it was just like she was a whole different person. You can do this, but not if you're interested in yourself and you walk around in your wee bubble instead of the community. What if you struggle with prayer? I want to talk to you. You need to get out of your head all of the prayer of Jabez type fantasies. That God, if you say a certain prayer in a certain way, has got to bless you in a certain amount. That's ridiculous. Jesus gave us a way to pray, and it didn't sound like Jabez. It sounded different. And it was all about forgiving and loving and community. Notice how many times it was us, us, we, us. It was about community. What kind of prayer is God looking for? Well, I think that's, God wants to spend time with you. That's got to be the first one. My father wants me to spend time with him, my earthly father. He's a long way away, living in Appalachia. It's difficult to get to him sometimes. And whenever I do get there, he doesn't talk much after the first day. First day, he doesn't stop talking. But then he's done with his words. And we'll sit there, and you know he wants to fill the silence with something. And he told me this last time. He said, whenever I was a man, I would go visit my dad, and he would sit there and not say a word for days. And when I'd start to leave, he'd start to cry and say, don't go. He said, I didn't understand that until now. And my dad's 79. He's saying, I don't have anything to really say, but I just want you here. I got that. I understand that. Your Father in heaven just wants to talk to you. He doesn't want you to talk to him just to get stuff. He's not a vending machine. He wants a relationship with you. So talk to him. Spend some time with God. Learn about God. Speak about him on the road. Talk about the creation and the light. People, you've been so kind. Yes, Cammie and I actually took a vacation. First time in a couple of years. Normally, when we go somewhere, I'm speaking every day and every night. This time we didn't. One of the things we talked about most, you know, people say, well, it's Florida, it's sun, and yes, it was, but we loved the birds and we loved nature and talking about how God did this and what incredible thing it was. Walk with God. Talk about God. Let him work his way into you. And when you pray, let me give you a few tips, all right? This is from a guy that is not the world's greatest prayer. There's a man, and if I have not asked for his permission, so I won't tell you his name. Many of you would know his name because he grew up to be quite a figure in our brotherhood. But when he came to work with me, he was just a kid. And he was working with me at a different church. And he said, could we start every week with prayer together? I was saying, all right, we can do that. So Monday morning, we come in. He walks into my office. He says, well, should I go first? I remember the Abraham Lot story, so yeah, you go first. He started praying, and about 10 minutes in, I realized, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I don't have anything. He's covered it all. He keeps going, too. And he kept going, and it was his prayer was like poetry, and it was about people and situations. And I'd only wanted God to bless a couple people and, you know, have a good look at another one or two. I was really done. I had nothing. I was wondering, what do I say? Do I just say ditto? I'm saying that to tell you, I am not a world expert in prayer, but I do know a few things. Pray the process. Let me explain. Some of you may have an uncle. Let's call him Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie hates the idea of God. He's an atheist. He hates church. He thinks it's all a big scam to get your money. What do? We pray that Uncle Charlie become a devout Christian. There's a few steps in between. What if we pray that God would surround Uncle Charlie with people that will make him question what he believes? What if we pray that God would open up an opportunity for us to serve Charlie? What if we pray that Charlie get wisdom? What if we move with him along the steps to this? Or somebody has cancer, and what do we want? We want them healed. I think you ought to pray for that. Absolutely. But then back up and realize there's a process here. Help me to walk with that person and to love that person. Help them to have people around them that love them. Help us not to forget them. Help us to remember to include them. Help us to what? And then we find the doctors and nurses. Let's learn their names. Let's pray for them. It's a process. It's a community building process. What we do is we pray for the end results. We put the coin in, buddy. We're just sitting back waiting for the candy bar to drop. It's a process. God, listen to this, wants to rendezvous with you. You need in a prayer to say, God, here's where I'm going to meet you on the road. So we can do this together. This so we can walk together. We started this whole series by reading John chapters 14, 15, and 16 for 3 weeks. And if you read those, you're going to find some incredible promises for prayer. But if you, would you go back and read those again? Because he also promises prayer, pain, persecution, and death. He promises that. So the prayers aren't designed to take that away. Those are some of the problems. We have an ark. Human being has an ark. We should know every human has an ark. Kind of, after a while, you go down the other end, there's a tunnel, and then you're in it. I tell you what, it's a shocking day when you put on your coat and your dad's hands come out the end of it. Some of you know what I'm talking about? I think it was Irma Bombeck that said that first. I don't want to take credit for it, but when I read it, I was going, that sounds, I know what that's like. When you look in a mirror and you realize, you know all that stuff I wanted to do when I was young? Too late. Not going to happen now. It doesn't mean that you're done. It just means I understand the arc of things. I'm sure I told you guys about this. It was years ago now. I was sitting in the office eating a Krispy Kreme donut. We can't get them warm, but I'll take it anyway. One of the staff walked in, looked at that and said, you know, you keep eating that stuff, that'll kill you. And I looked up at him and I said, so what's the downside? No, really, you're eating a Krispy Kreme, you look up and see Jesus. I'm struggling to find the negative in that scenario. We tend to fear that arc, and we think that God's going to make us the exception and not take us to the grave, but rather we will go from strength to strength to strength to strength. And there are preachers that will tell you that that's normative. Triumphalism, Christianity, let's stomp about and make the devil afraid of us and the like. That's not the way this works. Jesus died in his early to mid-30s. Do we think we're that much better at prayer than he is? Pray the process. Pray along the road. Let me put it to you this way. Can we agree that the ultimate solution for every problem is Jesus Christ? Can we agree? Jesus Christ has already been offered. So what are our prayers supposed to do? They're supposed to help us guide each other to Jesus. Not to escape pain, but to Jesus. We pray the process. About that journey thing. When you go to God in prayer and you say, Lord, help me. He will. He tends to do this. But he's not going to leave you on the couch. Peter, they release him from prison, but they don't take him outside. They say, get up quickly. Go. You're going to have to get up. How about Gideon? One of my favorite stories in all the Bible is Gideon. Here he is. He's kind of a coward. He admits it. And he's hiding from the bad guys when God shows up. And God goes, Gideon, arise in the strength you already have. Think about that. He didn't say, I will be with you in a mighty way. Go strike the enemy. He says, arise in the strength you already have and strike the enemy. Really? Yeah. Could it hurt? Yeah, but that's what this journey does. Get up. A depressed Elijah is told, get up and eat. When Herod is killing the children, the angel doesn't come to Joseph and say, rise up now. Angels will get between you and Herod and they will defeat this. No, he says, you better hurry and go. Run. Have you ever noticed this? Philip was told to go hitch a ride in that chariot. When angels appear in answer to prayer, they do not leave you the option of doing nothing. They make you join in the journey, rendezvous with God. In the South, the American South is a fascinating place to me. It is. Evidently, you're allowed to say any hateful thing you want to, as long as, at the end of it, you say, bless their heart. Right? That man is evil and I want him to die. Bless his heart. And that balances it. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Well, I think most of you understand the facetiousness of that. We need to be the people that when we walk through, we say, God bless you. We intend to be part of that blessing. We're going to find a way to be a part of the blessing of that individual. We're not just going to say, bless them or, oh, you know, that's a struggle. No, we want to be a part of the blessing. How can I help that person? The disciples were wondering, how do we feed this great group? You know what Jesus told them? Get them something to eat. Now that's fascinating. That really is. How do we feed the poor people in Oakland County? You give them food. Well, God, what we were looking for is for you to provide because we heard the grocery sack on the doorstep prayer. No, you've got food. Anybody, and don't be ashamed of this, anybody had to throw out spoiled food in the last 2 weeks, let's say? Anybody? There you are. Students don't raise their hand. They're going, no, man, we'll still eat it. You know, we're poor students. And if it's a little fuzzy, that could be antibiotic right there. You know, so a little penicillin. It's my favorite pizza topping. For most of us, sorry, I have no idea where that came from. Every so often in my head, there's a little voice saying, Daddy, make it stop. Anyway, there are several other voices too, but that's not legal. Feed them. We see the people, men shouldn't treat women like that. What? All right, what are you going to do about it? You know, I wish more people learned how to read. Well, don't ask God for people to learn how to read if you're not going to go down and help them. Be a part of the prayer. You be a part of the answer to the prayer. C.S. Lewis put it a different way, as he would normally do. He said, it's always easier to pray for a bore than to go visit one. In other words, we don't usually use the word bore about an individual. There are difficult people in everybody's life. It's easier to pray for them than to visit them. God calls you to visit them. You be a part of the answer to prayer. Often the difference between people whose prayers are answered and those who only get silence is those that got the prayers answered were active and involved in it. And the silent were sitting back on the couch waiting for God to do it. Active prayer is setting up that rendezvous with God for the community. Not for the self, but for the community. By the way, do you only pray when there's a crisis? If the only time you get on your knees is when you're ducking a blow, that's a bad thing. Why should God answer that prayer? I want you to work with me for a minute. Don't mean to be unkind. October of 1993, a truck hit the car in which I, Duncan, and Kara were traveling. We ended up in the hospital. I was in an emergency room bed in a section with several emergency room beds were full. And a lady down the way had a long, passionate discussion with her doctor. There was no way not to hear it. It was 2 a.m. I heard it. The doctor kept going, and I just summarize, this is tough. She was sick, she was in trouble, and he kept saying, did you take this medicine I gave you? No, I didn't like it. You take this medicine? No, I didn't want to do that. Did you do this? I gave you samples. Did you try this? No, I didn't, because I was busy. And, well, did you stay on the diet? No, because, I get hungry, and I like it. She didn't do anything he said, and yet she was furious at him because she was still sick. Here's a clue. Almost nobody dies of natural causes. You're aware of that? Most of us die of 1,000 bad mistakes made along the way. And they just kind of accumulate. What would it be like if God removed the consequences for all of our mistakes? I want him to remove the consequences from some, yes. But what if he removed them from all? Would we ever learn? What about the lottery winners? Have you ever studied what happens to the lottery winners? almost all of them, a year later, are bankrupt and divorced. Worse off than before. Now, buying a lottery ticket is a bad idea. It just shows you don't understand math at all. And yet, if you all of a sudden get money from it, have you learned from your mistake? No. You go right back to the mistakes and you end up worse than before. God's not going to protect you against that. Instead, we need to learn from our mistakes and work as the us in helping each other. Iron sharpen iron. Get better. It's kind of like the story. Never happened. I just like the story. But the man who hears, he has won a cruise. And there's going to be a big banquet the first night of the cruise. So he goes to the office with his little postcard. He's so excited. There's another man there. He has a postcard as well. The people come in. They said, you've won the cruise. You've won the big banquet at the end. They said, come on into the room. The man walks into the room. Bam! They hit him over the head. He's knocked out. He wakes up. He's floating in an inner tube down a river. He looks over. There's the other guy floating in the inner tube as well. The man realizes he's been taken and he laughs and he goes, well, I guess there's not a dinner either. And the other man says, well, there wasn't last year. If you don't learn, you deserve it. And as a community, we need to learn. God wants to do more than just help us. He wants to transform us. Look at John chapters 14, 15, and 16 again. He's talking about bringing glory to the Father, being filled by the Spirit, showing love and blessing as you go about. That's what the prayers were for. Not as a get out of jail ticket every time something happens. You want your prayers to be effective? I'd aim at whatever God's aiming at. Read and see what He says. Break your big problems down into smaller steps. Be specific. Name names. Picture them in your head. Go ahead and bring up your team. Move out of the couch potato school of prayer and actually get involved in this. And then use prayers to learn from your crisis, not to try to avoid it, but to be ready for it. And then turn your prayers from yourself to the community. Let your prayers be about the community. Because remember this, Moses was told by the Lord, remove the shoes from off your feet because you are standing on holy ground. But in our time, you who have been baptized into Christ are ambassadors of Christ. You are priests. You are fellow laborers with God. Wherever you are is holy ground. Amen, church? That means that you are movable altars. You go about as you have sacrificed yourself to God, you bless those you meet. We are holy ground. We must live as holy ground in the community and pray for the community as we take our journey from here home. Let's stand and sing.